This morning's New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 13 through to verse 21. It can be found on page 1031. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God.
The time I sing that hymn, I think of the time my sister went out to Africa in 1963. She went on a boat, and as the boat was leaving, a lot of her friends were gathering around singing hymns. And one of them was that hymn. This morning I want to talk to you about your entitlements, which for people of our age might be a good thing. The title of today's sermon is an intriguing one. What if someone says, ... they're entitled? It raises two questions. First, who are the someones? And secondly, to what do they think they might be entitled? So firstly, who are the someones? Well, these days it's fashionable to refer to the younger generations by a category name. Boomers, busters, Gen Y, Gen X, the me generation. And in a recent book by Jean Tavenge, a sociologist, is entitled "Why Today's Young Americans Are More Confident, Assertive, Entitled, and More Miserable Than Ever." i.e., young people who think that the world owes them and that what we may have taken as a privilege, they regard as theirs by right. Is that an accurate description of the young people you know? Or is it a misleading generalisation? Any ideas as a young person I had of my entitlements were knocked on the head by my parents when I left school after doing the leaving certificate and we were talking about what might happen. My mother said to me, "Well, I expect you to have a job soon, and you'll be working and you'll be paying board. And if you think you can do better elsewhere, off you go." And I knew that I could not do any better elsewhere. I finished the leaving certificate on the Thursday. I had a job interview on the Friday, and I was in employment by the Monday. No entitlement to a gap year hadn't even crossed my parents' mind at that stage. And my entitlements were considered to be minimal from my parents' point of view. And think yourself lucky that you have what you have. And many of you will have been around at that time. But what of our generation? Boomers, leaders, elders, the lucky generation, some people have called us, Do we presume that we have any entitlements, or are we above that, as we reckon we had to really work hard for our privileges? What might people think they're entitled to? Are our young people caught up in the spirit of the age and feel that they're entitled to have it all, and to have it now, and to have regular upgrades, and to have instant gratification? That they feel they're entitled to life, liberty, and happiness, to abundant possessions with regular upgrades, to unlimited entertainment, to a good education, and to living at home longer with free board and a mother to wait on them? And what do we, the older generation, see as our entitlements? Do we not feel that we're entitled to a bit of comfort in our old age? Aren't we entitled to superannuation that the government won't keep fiddling with? Aren't we entitled to a pension when we want it? Do you not think you're entitled to first-class medical cover? And don't you think you're entitled to a bit of respect from the younger generation? We have our list too of our entitlements. And I wonder that if we were born in this generation, we would be any different to the generation that we might be so quick to criticise for having it so easy. How would we be if we also had it as easy as people seem to have it today? We have our list. Don't most of us who live in the West? Don't we really truly want whatever we want and whenever we want it just the same? Which leads us to our passage this morning. What did Jesus say about entitlements? Well, in Luke 12, we read of a man who was very upset with his brother because his brother would not share the inheritance with him. In biblical times, the cultural norm was for the elder brother to always get two-thirds of the family inheritance. That was devised so that properties, holdings wouldn't keep getting smaller and smaller as they kept dividing them. So the older brother would always be entitled to more. But with that came the responsibility to look after his siblings. Well, whatever was going on here, there was a problem. Now, we all know the saying, where there's a will, there's a relative. And normally these disputes would be handled by the village rabbi. But this man brings his grievance to Jesus, but he doesn't get the sympathy that he's looking for. Instead, he receives a lecture on greed. You may know this story. He's a rich farmer and he's done pretty well. His focus is on his wealth and his entitlements. He talks about my crops, my barns, my gain, my goods, my ease, for which he receives the condemnation from God, "You fool, tonight your life is required of you." The things of this world were his entire focus, his own entitlements now to sit back, relax. You've done the hard yard, sit back and relax. What he hadn't worked out was that none of the things he talked about as belonging to him, my goods, my barns, my house, what he hadn't worked out was that none of them really belonged to him. He was only a custodian for a time. If you want to work out what's yours, try and work out what you're going to take with you when you die. I know the comedian Jack Benny once said, "If I can't take it with me, I'm not going." But that's not really an option. You will leave behind everything because it's not really yours. You are a custodian of it for a time. So Jesus said to this young man, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. So what are your entitlements? Seen in that light, why is it when you hear these kind of sermons and talk about greed and wealth and so forth, we immediately begin to compare ourselves with those who are more wealthy than us rather than those who are poorer than us? We'll say, well, I'm not like those millionaires and those billionaires who seem to hoard it. I'm not like that at all. But let me tell you, friends, the problem is not really the millionaires and the billionaires. The problem is you and me. My problem is me and my wealth and my entitlements and my response to Scripture and my need to be content with less. Even the Greek philosopher Socrates was able to say, he who is happiest is he who is content with least, if you're trying to work out what life is really all about. And that we need to learn to travel lightly through this world, because, as I've said, you are going to leave it all behind at the toll gate we call death. We have privileges in this world. We did not choose to be born here. That's a privilege. I visited some parts of the developing world where our daughter works, in Peru and India. I was in Peru 10 years ago. They had 87% unemployment. We can't imagine that figure. We start to get a little bit thingy if it gets over 5 or 6%. 87%. Most people eking out a living from day to day. Family all going out to work, pooling on the dining room table what they managed to scrounge for the day in terms of money and food and things to live on. And their social security was what the younger members of the family could find for the older members of the family. We went to one village where the missionaries had a feeding and education program for young people. As part of the deal, we fed them lunch, which is really a nutritious soup and a piece of fruit. And often the young children would put the piece of fruit in their pocket and take it home to grandma so that grandma could have a piece of fruit. They had no entitlements. They happened to be born in Peru. When I visited, when we visited our daughter in Delhi a couple of years ago, she took us for a meal to the home of their landlord. He lived in a one-roomed house. Hard to imagine a one-roomed house with a little kitchenette off the one end and a bathroom off the other. One large king-size bed in which slept the mother, the father, the 22-year-old girl studying for her bachelor's degree, and a 14-year-old boy. They all slept in the one bed. That bed was the dining room table. They spread newspaper on the bed while we all ate from that bed. And when the meal was over, they could sit on that bed with their back propped up against the wall and watch the small TV that was mounted on the wall. There are many people in this world who live like that, and we always talk about our entitlements and what we want in this world and what we think we are owed by our governments. When you think about entitlements, think about Jesus. He was entitled to everything. He made the show. He made the world. But he gave up every entitlement, thus setting us an example to follow as to what we should think about what we might be entitled to in this life. and to be very grateful to God for anything that we have, whether it's the ability to do what we do, whether it's the ability to make money, whether it's the whatever it is. Everything we have is from Him. And just while we're on entitlements, let me ask you another question. It sort of leads on a bit from last week. Some people think they're entitled to a place in heaven. I was at a wedding yesterday, a family wedding, and beautiful Christian wedding, let me say. We sang hymns, we sang about Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Off. It was just a beautiful Christian wedding. But talking to some of my cousins, they still have a view that they're entitled to heaven. All will be well because they're good people. Their entitlement. Do you think you're entitled to a place in heaven by virtue of your good life? After all, regular church attendance, good deeds over and above. We know Jesus died for us, but we can value add to Jesus' death with our good works to really secure that entitlement that we might have to heaven. What did Jesus say about that? Well, if you turn to another story in Luke's Gospel, Luke 18, we read of those two men, the Pharisee and the public official. What was the Pharisee's prayer? Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men, robbers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast two times a week and I tithe. If there's any budget shortfall in their church, it wouldn't have been his fault. He made sure of that. He had no sense of need, no sense of repentance, only a sense of his own entitlements and pride. He produced his CV to impress God. I've actually got mine here today, a CV with which I could impress God. Church attender all my life, Sunday school teacher at 14, beach mission leader at 20, minister for 43 years. There are a lot of entitlements there. My CV. The tax collector had a different approach altogether. He bowed his head, he prayed for mercy, and he pleaded for grace. And Jesus said he, rather than the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. You see, our CVs are useless. Imagine me arriving at the pearly gates with this. The Apostle Peter, if he were the one that minded the gate and was the gatekeeper, would say, Ken, give me that CV. This is what we do with them up here. Worth nothing. You only enter here by grace. And that's the thing that we need to realise as well. We're not entitled to heaven because we're who we are. We're entitled to heaven because God has chosen us, because God has sent his Son to die, and it is by grace through faith. And even your faith is not of yourself, lest anyone should boast. More in the spirit of the Tony, that for those who were here last week that I told you about, who said, I'm not good enough. He was more in the spirit of the public official. When you come to God, you come with a broken spirit and a contrite heart and receive your entitlement to heaven because of what Jesus has done. It's a privilege. We sing regularly, 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. So as you get closer to home, keep that in mind. Don't think as I get closer to home, I've got enough points with God to get me there. It's not grace plus good living. It's grace alone. No entitlements. You have no entitlements to what you can never own, and you have no entitlements to what you can ever earn in terms of salvation. So if I was speaking to somebody who wanted to talk about entitlements, that's the kind of approach that I would take. I'd try to encourage them to think they had no entitlements, but privileges, gifts, gifts from the hand of a good God. My teenage children used to talk to me sometimes about their entitlements. I used to say to them, probably following on from my mother, "Now, you don't have any rights here, around here. You have privileges, and they can be taken away, so just watch it." You see, we're not entitled. God gives us graciously, including our salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're such a generous, gracious God. We thank you for the privilege of living in this country of plenty. We thank you that we have what we have here, beautiful roads to drive on, food aplenty, a social security system, a Medicare cover, so many things that in other countries they could only dream about. Father, help us to see them as wonderful privileges from your gracious hand. And Father, when it comes to our entitlement to a place in heaven, help us to humbly come in the spirit of that public official, heads bowed, and really asking for your mercy. Father, we pray you'll help us to always have that clear in our mind and to give you the glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.